This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Yesterday, North Carolinians had their say at the polls for the 2018 primary election. Primary challenges in almost every congressional district, and Democrats running for every legislative seat in the state. Both the conversation around racial injustice and the Me Too movement seem to have had an impact on some of those races. Lauren Horsch and Rusty Jacobs were up last night watching the results, probably till 10:30, because it's a primary, and you know the results are in a little earlier. But the point is, you were watching the results. Lauren is a reporter with NC Insider and State News Wire Service. Lauren, welcome back. Good to have you.
Glad to be here.
Rusty Jacobs, WNC Politics reporter. Hello, Rusty.
Hi, Frank.
So a little bit of a joke. It's not an all-night cliffhanger, but it was a significant election given the fact that it is an off-year primary with no statewide primaries. Well, how is turnout? There was a lot of attention on these races.
Yeah, and it's kind of the stage setter for what some people, especially Democrats, are looking for, the blue wave. Could this begin the first ripple of that, and what does it portend for November? Turnout was, not terribly large, but certainly the Board of Elections data would show more Democrats turned out both in early voting and for the primaries. And so people, I think, were looking for any indication that there's a lot of motivation, or where does most of the motivation lie? Is it with the Republicans? Is it with the Democrats? Also, keep in mind that there's a huge block of voters in North Carolina that are unaffiliated, probably a lot of them young. And I think that maybe some of the issues that drove results in, like the Durham district attorney and sheriff races, may have been given some indication that the unaffiliated voters who are looking at particular issues are going to play big roles in the elections.
They're going to show up, and they may, at least the early indications are, be on the more progressive end of the scale. Lauren, talk about the races that you were watching closely.
Yeah, so I was mostly paying attention to these General Assembly races because there were no big statewide elections on this primary. I mean, no one's running for governor right now. No one's running for, attorney general or anything like that. So we were really paying attention to some, really important House and Senate races down here in Raleigh. One of the big what ifs we had was definitely Democrat Dwayne Hall from Wake County, who's a House member. And, as you mentioned up top, the Me Too movement, he's one of the men who have been accused of sexual misconduct in the General Assembly. He was running against a woman named Allison Dahl, and these allegations against him came out right as filing ended for this race. So we weren't sure what was going to happen, and he'd been very quiet, wasn't talking to media, but he was going door to door and, meeting with voters in his district in Wake County. He was sending out a lot of campaign literature. And in the end, we weren't sure if he was going to win, and he didn't. Allison Dahl pulled off about 68% of the vote. So that was kind of the first big instance of, we don't know what's going to happen. And, we did have an incumbent fall.
Yeah, there's a couple of categories that became the theme of this primary, not only here, but nationally. Incumbents are an endangered species. And, of course, the Me Too movement playing out, as you say, really in some ways for the first time in the mm-hmm. political arena. And, of course, the big headline out of the statewide elections was Robert Pittenger, another incumbent who failed to win the primary. Tell us more, Rusty.
The only incumbent in the congressional races that didn't survive. He lost to former pastor Mark Harris, who was his challenger 2 years ago. Pittenger only took that race by about 134 votes. Harris came back, won. He's conservative Christian. There, the two candidates were actually battling to seem closer to Trump, whereas some candidates across the nation might be trying to distance themselves from the president. In this case, there were two candidates trying to say, I'm the more conservative, I'm more the bigger Trump supporter. Pittenger loses. Mark Harris now goes into a race against Dan McCready, very well-financed. Dan McCready, an Iraq War veteran, has more than $1 million on hand. Mark Harris has about $70,000 on hand going into the general election now. So it's going to – that is what many Democrats say is a flippable district, one of two realistically flippable districts in North Carolina, along with the 13th.
Now, was there anything as dramatic as in West Virginia? Had Blankenship won, real fears that there would be a replay of the Alabama race, which is to say, did the Democrats have a preference for who won that primary?
I mean, I think they feel, no matter who the opponent would have been, that Dan McCready is a very strong candidate. He's got
the Democrat,
the Democrat in that going into that race. But the fact that the incumbent lost shows a vulnerability that Democrats hope to exploit.
All right, Lauren, talk about some more of these House races, state House races that you were following.
Yeah, one out of the Senate was another. We saw an incumbent fall, and this one is really interesting based upon outside spending. So Republican Senator David Curtis from Lincoln County, he lost his bid for re-election to Ted Alexander. And this, you know, this campaign was contentious for him because an outside group called NC Citizens for Clear Action came out against him, and they spent over $106,000 on campaign ads, mailers, television ads, all sorts of just media, you know, attacking him, because there was a bill he filed last year that would essentially allow eye doctors to perform certain procedures that were only allowed by eye surgeons. So there's a lot of minutiae there, and a lot of people were not happy with that bill, specifically eye surgeons. So this group, NC Citizens for Clear Action, really came out and really fundraised against him, and it was well-funded.
Mostly eye doctors, would we say?
Eye surgeons.
Eye surgeons.
The eye surgeons are the one that were opposed to.
So this is very much a niche campaign, but one that had important significance.
Yes, because he eventually, you know, did lose, and we were watching this for most of the night because, you know, when you have a well-funded outside group coming in and attacking a state senator, that's kind of out of the norm. But, you know, that's what we're seeing a lot more now. And another big one that might have consequences coming into the short session, which begins next week in Raleigh, Representative Justin Burr, who's a Republican from Stanley County, also lost his re-election bid to kind of a political unknown, Wayne Sasser. And a lot of people, a lot of your listeners might know Justin Burr because of his he was basically the architect of this judicial redistricting bills that have been out here, you know, kind of switching up the, you know, how judges are elected, you know, what districts they're in. Same with district attorneys. So he's been really influential in that. And he's, you know, been chair of several committees about that. So he lost his reelection bid again to political newcomer Wayne Sasser. And, you know, a lot of us didn't know who, you know, Mr. Sasser was. Like, a lot of us were like just sitting there Googling who is Wayne Sasser and finding out as much as we could. And he's just a semi-retired pharmacist from Stanley County, 67 years old. So that was, I think a lot of us were shocked about that. We knew he was doing good in fundraising, but we weren't sure what was going to happen.
Law and order played an important part in these races around the state. Rusty?
In Durham, Roger Eccles, district attorney, unseated by Santana DeBerry. Again, I think a lot of what went into that election and that race, as well as the sheriff's race in Durham County, was anger over the arrest and prosecution of protesters who toppled the Confederate monument downtown Durham, questions about participation in the 287G, the immigration agency program that partners sheriff's offices with federal agents in enforcing immigration laws. Santana DeBerry, not a fan of that program, wants to see reforms to the way criminals are treated and, you know, in crimes other than very, very serious crimes. So she really rode that wave of anger over traditional law enforcement and the response to protests like toppling
monuments.
Well,
interestingly enough, Roger Eccles, also a progressive on many of these issues, the guy who started to and then didn't continue to prosecute.
And an African-American African-American district attorney. And yes, he campaigned as somebody who believed in reforms and restorative justice, but it wasn't enough to sate the anger and the passion of a lot of the voters.
And the incumbent sheriff, Mike Andrews, who is one who's seen on the other side of that question, ousted by a big number.
Correct. And I think you see a lot of similar sentiments in the race in Buncombe County, where Quentin Miller is now going to be running against a Republican and a Libertarian for the sheriff race in Buncombe County. And he's the first African-American nominee of a major party for the sheriff in Buncombe County.
And again, that was a race in which there were five candidates running. The incumbent was not in that race, but it was a competitive race. Again, like Durham, the Democrat will run unopposed in the general election. So, you know, barring any unforeseen events, those two individuals should go on to become sheriff. But again, a very competitive race in which he takes 54% of the vote.
Yes. And there you have the the residue of right. the anger, the public outcry over the treatment of Johnny Germaine Rush, the jaywalker who was beaten. Now, that was an Asheville policeman involved in that incident. Nonetheless, it stoked a lot of anger.
It suggests that it has awakened real consciousness about the impact of law and order and the kinds of the way our voting is going to have an effect on that. And if that wakes up that segment of the voting population, again, who knows what happens in November. So just very briefly, is there a rule we can derive, any lessons that we can learn in this primary going into? Yeah, everybody's shaking their heads.
Yeah,
this is 2018.
I'm agreeing with Lauren's shaking her head. And you know, this told some stories, but this election did not tell the story of the November election.
No, I think that's still up in the air. I mean, especially for the General Assembly races, Democrats are really trying to mobilize, and they have their eyes set on a lot of districts that have been strong, you know, conservative districts, but we won't know.
Turnout usually is the answer. We will see. Lauren Horsch is a reporter with the NC Insider at a state news wire service. Rusty Jacobs, WNC politics reporter. Thank you both.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
You can find links to their work at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, reconstructing the gospel in some parts of the American South, certainly a defense of slavery. These days, perhaps a defense of white supremacy. Is there another version of the gospel? We'll talk with one writer who thinks so. Reconstructing the gospel, finding freedom from slaveholder religion. We'll talk more about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay with us.